with a general question about something specific. Will each of you discuss what your idea of local means? What kind of particularity defines local? How does it involve paying attention in a particular way?
You know what, I'm gonna start with my work. When I think about local, the first thing I think of is my lap, because that's mostly where the stuff gets made. I'm somebody that still prioritizes the domestic activity in this region with activity that happens pretty much from my elbow down. And I can't help but think of that as women's work to some degree. And then I think I sort of shift that sense of local to a desire to move beyond that. And then I think neighborhood, patterns of neighborhood, which happily are articulated really nicely living in New York in a way that I never get in a car. Everything is kind of expressed physically and with some general locale. It's the size of a subway car. I think about it in physical increments. And then I also think about mental pockets of art, like the locale of sculpture versus the locale of painting or drawing. I like compartments, I like definitions and where their boundaries are, and I like expanding them and contracting them.
Myron.
I have a much more parochial definition of local. I'm thinking of local as some idiosyncratic lingo that one has within a smaller group that is unique to that group. And it seems to me that Sheila's work is a wonderful reflection of their own values. I mean, I could see people coming in who are craftsmen seeing the act of the making. I can see feminists coming in thinking about crocheting. I can see people who are interested in architectural spaces involved with the space of these things. I can see people who are interested in audio thinking of these things as conversation among many, many people within the space, and there's overlapping of these conversations. So it seems to me that Sheila's work has that quality that allows for so many readings that people can bring to bear what they have. So going back to local, the work can remain local because you can leave and still just take with you what you brought in to look at.
Sheila made a comment the other day at lunch that's very similar to what you're talking about, Myron, and that is that you alluded to really speaking to and with artists when you work because you are so keenly aware of that artistic vocabulary, that modernist vocabulary that you were trained in. But you also said, very similarly to what Myron is saying, that you want your work to speak to everyone from their particular perspective, and you use the metaphor of the UN.
Everybody having their own headset on.
Everybody having their own.
Maybe 10 years ago in some postmodern parlance, we called that multivalence, borrowing from chemistry folks. And I think it's a great idea because the chemists are right. You know, it's like you're multivalent, but your charge has got to be right on to fill the valence. Yeah. And so it is a very specific. Talk about local. We're talking local on a really small scale, that things would connect that way. I'm a generalist in some ways, but you know, lest it be garbled, it seems like there needs to be very specific gates provided, thought about and provided for various audiences. And I know I speak to artists first because that's my personal mission, is to learn more, is to grow more, and I know those are the folks that are gonna kind of, you know, push me, challenge me. But it doesn't necessarily need to be excluded to that particular audience. Mm-hmm. So I like this idea of local in that way. It makes sense to me.
There's a nice little dual thing that's going on, because when you talk about the generalities, it is broad, it's general in the sense that you're making one thing out of a particular vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But Myron speaks of many different kinds of people listening to it, looking at it, responding to it, and you talk about people, and what the sociologists and communications people call high-context cultures. So it's like there's a lot of little high-context cultures going on that come out of this one unified thing.
I have to say, though, that my understanding of it is that no one member of any one of those groups is wholly satisfied, and I really like it that way. because you have to leap out or leak out of your local area to start to finish the sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's my agenda, is to have that sense of complexity or that sense of dissatisfaction make you a little less local, you know, make you cross the county line, so to speak.
Well, I want to make a comment. I mean, I think there's a difference between being inspired by the local and making work about the local. Mm-hmm. And certainly the stuff that I saw at the Hand Workshop the other day, and some of the later things you showed, the Zilka Gallery, the Shrink, I mean, I'm not sure that those things are local. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see them as that. I mean, they may be inspired by your experiences, but mm-hmm. but this is true about many artists. Mm-hmm. And there are artists who make stuff that is about, not only inspired by the local, but about the local.
Yeah.
And one enters that and enters that locale, which is a different locale than one's own, and something else happens. I see this as being, in some ways, certainly the later pieces, I mean, they fit very nicely into New York modern art world, or modernist or contemporary art world, and mm-hmm. and so I wouldn't locate them in any specific place.
I don't think I have any illusion that anything before this moment was considered as a local event. I think looking back through this consideration of the project right now, it makes me think about local vis-a-vis the body and wanting to move beyond my home, so to speak, or wanting as an artist to move beyond my own imagination, something more out in the world. So nothing before the New York drawings, I think, is meant to be anything but an elevation of the domestic in a modernist space or in an institutionalized space.
What do you mean by domestic? I mean, you say domestic, I mean, is it?
I mean, either domestic.
Domicile or.
Domestic activities or domestic, okay. Domestic scale or okay. Domestic image.
Okay.
A person with a platter of food, a chair tipped over, kind of tame. But I think what's happening for me now is I'm at a pivot point where this work right now is, and I think inspired is the right word, inspired by my environment, not only visually but aesthetically, that this is really dealing with the seeds of an early 20th century New York aesthetic, and that I'm wanting to take that position more and more as a person that comes from New York. Perception is internal, I must say, and the work is sitting on the cusp of that, which is why this conversation is really useful to me. But I think that I'm looking really carefully at what it means to embrace that position as an artist, to make something about where you come from.
I have a question for you. And as you're working, and as I'm trying to read the crocheting, mm-hmm. I see it like some musician is starting to play, and they go from one riff to another riff to another riff, and it's just this language, and it's this constant chatter and talking and moving from one configuration to another configuration to another configuration. And for me, it's like somebody that is on this long monologue that it starts with this one piece of string or two pieces of string, I mm-hmm. guess, and you start moving and you move in a linear direction, and this thing gets convoluted and it wraps in on itself. It's this long, long monologue. It's a story that after a while gets in a way that one can hardly hear it. There's so many voices that it ends up being that it becomes the whole space becomes filled with the sound of this. That's my vision of this. I mean, I don't know how you see this thing as you're working. And how do you get from point A to point Z as you move through this thing?
Well, I love your description, first of all. Mm-hmm. It starts with sitting in a chair and tying shoelaces to each
yeah.
other
yeah.
for hours.
Yeah.
That's how it starts. And then it ends with pulling things across a room. Well, it doesn't end there. It's mm-hmm. funny, it's very circular. Then there's sitting and crocheting, and it's very improvisational, mm-hmm. and it's all based on mistakes, and don't look too carefully. Mm-hmm. My mother would be very disappointed.
Yeah.
That was the joke about Josephine, because I know she'd say, what's the matter? Well, can't you make anything nice? Nothing, this is, what is this? Yeah. It's very much like, okay, we got to the end of this, turn it around, go back in this, that direction. You know, all this thinking is so that when I'm working, I don't think that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. What way do you think?
afterward.
So it's like a Zen activity of non-thinking.
And well, it's not that kind of, it's a different kind of intelligence, I think.
Okay.
And it's based on memory and recognition and the need to work.
Mm-hmm. Is it like doodling when you're at the telephone and you have a conversation and your mind is wandering and your hand is moving and it's moving by itself and it has its own mind?
It,
its
it
own
is
life.
Like that, but that's why I think I talk about the lab so much, because it's more than that. It's more pleasurable than that, you know?
Yeah, okay.
There's also something very specifically structured about it. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that sense of structure and breaking down the structure, and also about breaking down the space. You mentioned that once you had to decide how to break down the space, then it was a matter of moving into that long riff, that, as you call it.
There are a couple of analogies I can make. I took piano lessons as a kid, so it's kind of like scales. Mm-hmm. You do it, and then there's a point where you're doing it, and you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. How long do I have to do this? I can't crochet and not look. I'm not that good. I know we were talking about this. There are women on the subway who crochet like for baby clothes, and they're not looking, and it's pretty amazing. But I look, and I miss, and I don't put the needle in the right place. But as long as it's structurally sound, it's okay by me. There's a lot in my work that's about being technically just good enough. It's a kind of anti-mastery position. Just enough to get the job done so that we're not sated in that location. And then about the drawing in space, there's hardware that's drilled in as points, and then it connects the dots. Mm-hmm. And lines are described, and then planes are described, and then some are taken in and put back out. And a big mass of something will be pulled into the space that I can't see how it will go. Then it's cleaned up and articulated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it runs constantly between looking at a long view and a line in space that's collapsed into two dimensions and going back and carefully and obsessively tying off something. The great thing about the shoelace is the beginning is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can reach into something and untie it and pull it and open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would ever know that that's not where it started. And so that cacophony, there's a potential for an endless amount of it.
I don't know if I don't want to change the direction, but I mean, obviously, Sheila's not an autodidact, you know, and Sheila grows out of a culture and grows out of things that she has seen. And we were chatting yesterday, and I asked if she was interested in the Mile of String, the Duchamp, in the Surrealist exhibition in 1942. And she said, yes, that was one of the, I don't know how you frame
like
it.
Like an admitted precursor, heritage or something.
And there's a number of other things that come to my mind, those models of Antonio Gaudí for his buildings he built in the late 19th century, the strings hanging, inverted buildings. But there's so many wonderful things that have taken place that have used things that seemed related as cousins or as grandfathers or whatever to these works that you're up to. What are some of the others, people that you were looking at that really informed your ideas and got you to where you are?
Well, Hesse, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And then Judy Pfaff, pretty clearly, in terms of the 2D, 3D stuff. This is an interesting question in general. For me, there are certain things that you just know are going to be there and that predate you. But as my work sort of shifts around from one location to another, I think about different people. If you want to talk about Duchamp and issues of chance, no chance, or Hesse, same thing, chance, no chance. And then when I look at Judy's installations, the eye begins to be an important part of it. So those are the things that I think about, the structures of operations that are about a physicality or a will or a lack of will, or how much is about the body and how much is about the eye, how much is about a cultural construct. Ashley and I talked about this really formative moment when I was at Albertus, when I was cutting out a class and going down to the Yale Art Gallery and standing in front of Eva Hesse's hang-up, and I didn't know what the heck to make of it. I just didn't. I couldn't grasp it. And I would go back to school and ask the sisters, and they didn't have anything to tell me. And then the other activity was going to the Women's Center in New Haven for the premiere screening of The Making of the Dinner Party. I really like that too. And then, you know, these two things, if you look at them side by side, they don't really speak to each other. But in that moment, they both spoke to me. And so much of what I do is a kind of negotiation between parents that aren't speaking to each other.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So.